I want to share with you a word, and we're going to come out of 2 Kings chapter 20 today. And I want to do my best to share it just because I believe it's where we are. And it's just the only thing, I sort of wrestled with it all week. And I was talking to a pastor friend yesterday on the phone, and we often talk on Saturday, and he'll say, "What are you preaching?" I'll say, "What are you preaching?" And he'll say, "Well, maybe I'll use that." I said, "Well, maybe I'll use that." And we'll talk about what we're preaching about. And I had nothing. I mean, this was like 7 p.m. last night. I was just clueless, David. I really just was unsettled about what I was going to preach, and except for one particular chapter that I looked at all week, and that was 2 Kings chapter 20. And that's what I want to share with you today. And we're going to read actually just a couple of verses to you, and I want to share it with you. You might remember I said, I think it was last week or the week before, that years ago at our previous building, we had a whole wall in the sanctuary that was dedicated to prayer. And it was our prayer wall. And so every block, because it was a block wall, had a name on it. And we saw a lot of miracles take place on that wall. And the Lord had spoken to me a few weeks ago about that wall and to bring it back. And so we are. So the one wall in our sanctuary will be dedicated to nothing but names and people that we're going to be praying for in your families and people that you love, whether it's salvation or miracles. But there were tremendous miracles that happened off the every name that was on that wall. And we're going to bring it back. And so that's where I'm going to come out of the text today, is 2 Kings chapter 20. I want to share that with you. 2 Kings chapter 20, I'm going to start in verse 1 and read this to you today. Here I go again, not being able to see. I'm going to have to start wearing my glasses and forget these contacts because it just ain't working, David. Oh, here we go. Don't laugh too much now. Magnifiers. I'm going to read off of the screen, Geneva, so you can stay with me because it's easier for me to see. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." What a word. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, "I beseech you, O Lord, remember now I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thine sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord." I'm going to stop there. Within just a couple of verses, what a turnaround. If you really paid attention, look how it begins. That the whole verse, it begins with him receiving really a prophetic word from the Lord, from Isaiah. And he tells Hezekiah, "Set your house in order, you shall die and not live." Imagine getting a word like that from God, right? We come to church to get inspiring, encouraging words. At least I do. When I go to God for anything, it's nice whenever God speaks something encouraging and uplifting. But imagine going to God or hearing from a prophet of God that you need to get everything in your life in order because you are going to die. He was already sick in his body. It wasn't a word necessarily we would look forward to. If we would come to church and you'd hear me or someone tell you a word like that, it would sort of take us back, maybe set us in a bit of a panic mode. And so here is Hezekiah, a man that was already sick in his body. In fact, I'll do my best to try to explain somewhat of his condition, but he was somewhat sick already in his body and was looking for answers and results and looking for divine intervention, divine turnaround, only for the prophet of God to come to him and declare over him that you need to get everything in your life right, all your affairs in order, make sure your house is in order, and all your financials, all of those things, because you're going to die. But I love how quick this story really takes a turn, that he receives that word, but it's Hezekiah's response to the word. And I can't help but think about our nation, our families right now, even all the prayer requests. all the things that we're enduring. You heard me say as we opened this morning, I can't wait for a new year. I'm praying it's a better year. A lot of you probably feel that way. We're hoping we can come to church without masks and we can go out to eat again. Come on, somebody. I just want to go get a good steak and some seafood, you know. I'm tired of eating heated up stuff in the microwave, right, and all that stuff because I don't like to cook. We want to get back to some sort of normal life. And so in all kinds of ways, maybe it's physical stuff. Maybe it's spiritual things that we have going on or family problems or a lot of people working from home. That we have situations that we're dealing with and we wonder if they're ever going to really change. And so this scripture was speaking to my heart even this morning as I was thinking, because it's sort of been a year and months and weeks of just bad reports, of just bad things going on. You know, I felt like the other day it was just one thing after the other. I mean, one thing after the other. There was one problem that called, and then another, and then another, and then another. And then yesterday was sort of one of those days where it was like there were three different things going on in a whirlwind all at once. And then I wake up this morning, get ready for church, get the phone call. Hey, guess what? You were exposed. You need to quarantine. I'm like, you've got to be kidding. And so I thought, God, what is going on? And so we're often looking, when is there going to be a break? When are things going to let up? Does it always have to be this hard? And so in the text, Hezekiah was sort of dealing with that. There was a lot of things going on in the time that they were living on, but I don't want to focus on those. I want to focus on him, because sometimes when we're going through something, doesn't it just feel like it's just you? I know for me, as of late, it's felt like, am I the only one that is dealing with all this? Why is everyone else laughing? Why is everyone else having a grand old time? Why does it seem like all of this bad is only going on in my life? And although we know that's not true, it often seems like it's personal to us. And so Hezekiah was dealing with things in his life, and he felt very much that it was personal unto him and that his sickness was only about him. And he receives the word of the Lord from Isaiah and says, get everything in order. In other words, make ready, because you're going to die and leave this earth. And it's Hezekiah's response that I love and I appreciate it. Watch it. He says, then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying. Now, there's been a lot of, I remember reading this study in Bible college, and there's been a lot of theory on why he would turn his face toward the wall. And I think it's really much simple. Some believe because he turned towards the temple and all of that. But I really believe it's for this reason alone, that whenever you and I are facing issues and problems in this life, that when it comes to our time in prayer, oftentimes we'll pray but never really believe that the prayer was answered or believe that God was hearing it for us. How many of you remember last week I said that oftentimes, Pastor Michelle said it when she closed last week, that we know that God can, but we just don't know if he will. That oftentimes we believe that God can do things. We believe that God is able to heal. We just don't necessarily believe that he'll do it for us. We believe that God is a God that's of financial miracles, and we've seen him do things for people, but we don't always believe that he will do it for us. And so what I appreciate about prayer and what I believe the lesson to be learned with Hezekiah is that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall saying, you know, I'm not going to focus on what is going on in my body and what word I just received. Instead, I'm going to turn away from what is going wrong and completely just turn my attention away from it. I think a lot of times when we go to the Lord in prayer, we've got to just turn away from often the bad report. The thing that we see going wrong, the thing that isn't working in our life, that oftentimes sometimes even people. And it was interesting, he turned his back to everybody else in the room and turned and faced the wall that his bed was next to. And because he was so sick and so failing in his health that he was bedridden. And so he simply just turned and faced the wall and prayed. Meaning, I'm going to ignore every other distraction. I'm going to ignore every other detraction in my life. I'm going to ignore every other report. I don't need another prophet to come to me. And he went to the one that he knew could answer it. Even though the prophet had brought the word of the Lord to him, God had told Isaiah, tell him he's going to die. But Hezekiah decided, and there was enough faith within him to know that, hey, I have the ability to go to God myself and pray, despite the word of the Lord, and let God know just who I am and how I'm feeling and what is going on inside of me. And so the Bible says that he turned his face to the wall. Part of what I believe we need to do in our lives sometimes is just ignore every other voice. When it comes especially to prayer, when I'm praying and believing God for something, the last thing I can stand is to be around people who are negative or not going to believe. You know, if I'm believing God for healing for somebody's life or body or a divine turnaround of some kind or God to intervene, the last thing I want to hear is someone doubting and unbelieving and not agreeing with me, right? If even if it's something personal in my own life, the last thing I want to hear is, now that's crazy or that's crazy faith. You want to have people around you believing. And so Hezekiah turns away from all the other voices. All the other assistants to him and servants and people that are in the room caring for him and his sickness, and even turns away from the prophet saying, I've heard enough of you. And he turns his face to the wall and he begins to pray and cry out to the Lord. And look what he says. He says, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. He was just reminding God, hey, God, do you remember how well I've served you? Do you remember how well and faithful I've been? Do you remember the condition of my heart and that it's been pure? And he was weeping and crying out before God, saying, I know that I'm sick, but I'm not ready to die yet. He said, just God, remember how great of a servant I've been. And then it goes on in the next verse and says, and before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him saying, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer and I have seen tears. Surely I will heal you. Surely I will heal you. Look how quick God turns this thing around from him dying and being sick in his body to now he's in a position in a time where God says, no, he's not going to die. I'm going to heal him because he heard the cry from Hezekiah. In other words, it reminds me that just because we receive news of something, just because we get a report from a bank or we get a doctor's report or things look a certain way in our life, it means that we don't have to settle for those results. It means that I don't have to settle for, even if it seems like God has already ruled on something, it means I don't have to settle on that because of who I know that God is. That's one of the things I believe that Hezekiah knew, that Hezekiah knew who God was beyond anything else. That he knew that God had, the word of the Lord had came to say he will die. But I believe Hezekiah also knew that God was also merciful and God was also a God of grace and that God was also a healer. And so he knew, I just need to tell God about me, about who I am. And the Bible says that he wept bitterly, that he went before God sobbing and crying and just letting God know, hey, I've served you and I've served you well and I've done the very best that I could. And God's mercy began to pour out and spoke to Isaiah and said, go back and tell him he's going to live. Go back and tell him I'll not let death come to him. I think this is a time for you and I that if we get it to the point, I shared with the discipleship class a couple of weeks ago when we were talking on teaching on the Holy Spirit, and I was teaching them a little bit on prayer, that you, it's you and I that possess real power, the Bible says, that he's given us all power and all authority. And I really believe that now more than ever is a time when God is saying that he needs us to be a people like Hezekiah, that we'll not worry about what the news says, or we're not worry about what our bank statements say. We're not going to worry about what health officials even say about masks and all those things. Not that we don't use wisdom. This morning's an example where we're going to use wisdom. But that we understand that God is a God of divine turnarounds. And Hezekiah is only one example of many of them throughout Scripture. That what it looks like things will turn out aren't always the case. And that we've got to oftentimes just turn off every other voice and turn away from the influences of this life and realize that it is, in the end, it is what you and I are decreeing and declaring. It is you and I and what we're praying and calling out to God for. And this is a time where we, the people of God, have got to believe that God is greater than all of this. that with one just nod from the heavens, God can destroy the virus. With one decision, with one prayer that comes from you and I, God can unleash extraordinary favor and financial favor on you. That with one prayer that goes up from heaven from this place, healing can come to someone's body, and that He's the God of divine turnaround, the divine reversals. That's the God that He is. And what I believe that God is calling you and I to be more than ever before is to be a people of prayer. I know prayer isn't popular and prayer isn't always the thing that gets people excited the most, but when we can read stories like this in 2 Kings 20, where Hezekiah prays out to the Lord and he gets an instant result, it should encourage and empower you and I to just say, hey, I'm going to at least try this thing. I'm going to at least attempt to be a person of prayer, where I'll block out every other voice. I'll block out every other thing going on in my life, whatever the news says or whatever problems are going on in our life. That oftentimes our whole world is dictated by what is going on in our life, and so our moods change and they go up and down. Mine can, anyway. Sometimes I get moody and cranky based on the circumstances around me. I know I'm probably the only one. But I get moody and cranky. I'm not always fun to be around. I'm not. I can make you laugh, but I can also make you cry, you know, because being around me can be a miserable experience, believe it or not. That's just who we are. But God is calling you and I to be a people that He says, Adam, despite the word of the Lord, despite what anyone or a doctor or a bank statement or a job or whether you have a job or lose a job, despite any of those things, God's wanting you and I to be a people like Hezekiah, that even if we're approached with news like that, that's life-shattering, life-altering, God's saying, if you would be a people of prayer, just watch what I would do. Watch what I would do. Even in the Old Testament, right, you might remember 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then he says, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And in other words, God's saying, if you'll just come to me and be a people of prayer and turn away from old ways, he said, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal your land. There's so many examples where God does extraordinary things in the midst of prayer. I mean, extraordinary things that God does. He's a God that wants to bless you and I. He's a God that wants to cause our prayers, and he wants you and I to be able to see that they'll be open. I was thinking about Matthew chapter 10, and you don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. Matthew chapter 10 and verse, let me find it, 41 maybe. I'm sorry, Mark chapter 10. What did I say, Matthew? Yeah. Mark chapter 10. It's one of the greatest questions that I remember Jesus asking. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, I want to receive my sight. Out of all of the examples of miracles that Jesus performed in the earth, this is one of the greatest moments that I appreciate the most about the ministry of Jesus, because he knew, but yet he says to him, what is it that you want me to do for you? And all of us in this life, as a nation and as a people and our families, our communities, and we're all going through different things. And yet, really from the heavens, I hear God saying, what is it that you really want me to do for you? And for each of us, it's probably different. We've got prayer requests asking for healings, and then there's some that are financial, and there's some that are, you know, virus related, and there's some that people are in the hospital right now waiting on results and finding out what happened to them. And there's others that need a home, you know, and there's others that need an absolute divine miracle from heaven in order to live. And then there's others with other pains in their bodies. And Jesus said to the blind man, what is it that you want me to do for you? And the man said, I just want to receive my sight. That same question is what God is asking of you and I today. It's that same question that we can look in Hezekiah, and when he turned his face to the wall, it's as if God was saying to him, hey, what is it that I can do for you? And Hezekiah blocked out every other voice and distraction and issue and problem, and knowing that the word of the Lord had already come, that he was going to die, and he goes to God and tells God what it is that he wants, right? And you and I've got to keep in mind that And John chapter 14, the Bible says that you and I can ask anything in his name. And Jesus says, and that I will do. That's what he promises us in his word. He said, you can ask anything in my name. And he said, and I will do it. Think about how awesome that is. Hezekiah is the example of it in the Old Testament, where Hezekiah says, God, remember who I was. Remember how well I've served you. And the Bible says that he wept bitterly, and God did it, right? There's examples of it when Jesus restores the sight of the blind man. Jesus just said to him, what is it that you want me to do for you? And he says, I want to receive my sight. And Jesus gives him his sight. Over and over again, there are examples, and these are just a couple. We could spend all morning looking at examples where and what it is that God does when people pray. But God always is a God of answered prayer. And a lot of times we'll pray for things and not necessarily see answers. But the Bible says, and Jesus said, and John, he said, when you pray, believe. When you pray, believe. And he's saying, and I will do whatever it is that you ask. You and I need to be a people that when we pray, that we will believe. And then watch that God will do whatever it is that we're asking for. That in other words, he's saying that you and I don't need to settle for less than results. That you and I don't need to settle for a maybe answer. I don't know about you, but there's been times where I've prayed and believed that God could do it, but didn't necessarily believe that it would happen. And so I immediately just started preparing myself for a non-answer or a miracle not to happen or just to prepare how life was going to be because I didn't really truly believe that God was going to answer prayer. God wants you and I to be able to pray and believe God and believe God for him. And when we pray and then not have that plan B, not have a backup plan, not believe that God isn't going to answer, not believe that he's not going to bring healing, not believe that he's not going to allow a financial miracle, any of those things, that God wants you and I to be able to pray and just believe that it will be so. Believe that it's going to turn out the way that we're asking. And I know that can be challenging because I think we live in a society where for a lot of times we're not always used to getting what we want. Right, I grew up not always getting what I wanted, David, believe it or not. I could ask something and I would want something, whether it was for Christmas or at the store, and I just didn't get it, you know. It wasn't that mom and dad were mean. It was just we didn't have that kind of lifestyle where whatever I wanted, I got, you know. If I wanted a quad, I didn't always get one. If I wanted to go somewhere, I didn't always get to. It didn't matter, you know, what, you know, how meaningful it was or how much it really was. It was just how I was raised. I didn't always get what I wanted. And trying to prepare me for life that where you don't always get what you want. Hello. And so we come to God and we sort of bring that same mentality that we're going to ask something of God, but yet then we have that same expectation that I'm probably not going to get it. And yet God said in his word, you can ask anything in my name and I will do it. And so it's sort of opposite of what we're used to, because we're used to just living and asking and growing up. And even as adults, we'll work hard and we'll do everything we can. But there are things that you want that you don't have, right? There are things that we desire that aren't a part of our life yet. Maybe it's children. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's something in our family. It could be a lot of things, a job that we want that we don't have. And so we just get used to having that mentality in this life where we don't always get what we want. And so then we come to God and we ask things of God. And we, before we even ask, we have the mentality, I'm probably not going to get it. I'm probably not going to get it. I'm probably not going to get what I'm even asking for. We pray and we ask God for healing, and yet we just don't believe that it will ever change. We just expect that it's going to be the way that it always was. And yet the words of Jesus were, you can ask anything in my name and I will do it, he says. He didn't say I might. He didn't say I could. But he said, you can ask anything and I will do it. That's powerful. It's powerful, for meaning that you and I need to, when we ask, really believe. Like Hezekiah, when Hezekiah turned away from every other voice and every other distraction and every other thing going on in his life, he just prayed and he reminded God who he was, and he wept bitterly and he asked, and then God brought the word of the Lord that you will live. You're not going to die, but you're going to live. I believe this is an hour and a time where we're going to bring our prayer wall back next week, and it's going to be there, and names are going to start going up there, people that need saved and people that need a radical healing and all kinds of extraordinary things. And that's true. But even in our prayers right now, God's saying he just needs you and I to believe. if the real Church of Jesus Christ would pray, and I mean really pray throughout this nation, what changes would we see happen? What miraculous things would we see happen, right? I've given examples and I've told stories and testimonies of people we've prayed for and instant miracles happening from people that couldn't walk to walk, and people who had cancer and were dying or cancer free, and people who needed surgery and then didn't have to have surgery because we prayed. We have to have that same faith and that same belief in every area of our life right now, that I don't want you and I going into 2021 just hoping that it's going to be better, but we need to believe and insist that it's going to be better. Believe that as this year ends, we're not going to go into a new year having to worry about this stupid virus, or we don't have to go in worrying about finances anymore. That the God that we serve says He provides all things. And all things, meaning he owns all things, that he's the God that's going to provide the job that we need, the house that we need, the vehicle we need, whatever it is. He's the same God that brings people into our life that we need. That when He says you and I can ask anything in His name and He will do it, He wants you and I to believe that. And so what I believe the challenge from God is that you and I would turn our face, our ears, our focus, our senses away from every other distraction. Over the last couple weeks, I just haven't been able to watch a lot of news. Just really any. I think I haven't even been on social media a lot because I just can't, you know. I just can't endure it. I can't hear one more thing. I can't allow any other junk in to be able to be heard or anything, because it just gets you all distracted. And what I believe is that sometimes what we need to do is just turn away from all of the naysayers and the voices that would tell you it's not possible or that nothing's going to change. There are people that I know that they love people in their family, but I've heard these words, and some of you have, some of us have probably been told these words, they are never going to change. People are never going to change. And yet what I've learned about God is that God is the only one that has the ability to bring change. And that there are people that need prayer today that people have said and declared over them, they are never going to change. Anybody know what I'm talking about? People have said that about us. And yet here we sit and here we are, that we're examples, that we are people that can change because of the powerful demonstration of the who God is and how God can change hearts. And there are people that are like that are in our life, and we've got to stop trying to change them and give them to God, because God said in His word, Jesus said, you can ask anything in my name and I will do it. That God is able to change people and circumstances and physical problems and financial problems and national problems and worldwide problems. That's the God that we serve. And He's awesome like that. But what He desires is to hear from you and I. What He desires above everything else is that you and I would be a people of prayer. That you and I would above all things, pray and ask of Him. Despite Hezekiah's circumstance and that he was so sick that he was bedridden, he made himself turn into a different direction. He made himself ignore every other voice and doubt and fear and anything that would pollute or dilute what he knew to be true about God. And he turned his focus elsewhere. He turned it towards God, the only one that he knew that could bring about a different result. And that's what you and I've got to do. That's what I believe God's calling us to do. Every day is a day of people that need prayer for this or that. And now more than ever, I knew today was going to be a day of a lot of prayer requests, but I was overwhelmed when I started getting ready for church, get out of the shower, and there was four more. And then some came in through the night, and just people are in need of things, of God to do something like a divine intervention in their life. That some of us just don't want to begin the year where it ends, and then some of us need to see breakthroughs in certain areas, and then there are people that are battling and struggling things that some of us could never understand. And what God wants us to do is turn our focus away from what is wrong, what's spinning out of control, and all the things that aren't right. I've got a long list of things that aren't right. And God's saying, but don't focus on that. Do like Hezekiah and turn your attention, in other words, to God. Give God your focus and then believe that He will, remembering the words that Jesus spoke. Ask it in my name and I will do it. Believe that that's who I am and I will do it. You and I have got to be a people that will believe that God is who He says He is and that He will do what He says He will do. and that we're going to believe above all things that it's going to turn out according to his word, because God, all God says is just ask and believe, and when you do, I will do it. That's what he's looking for, is people that will have the faith enough to ask for it. Secondly, that we'll just believe for it and then sit back and watch God and let God do it. Hezekiah was in a situation where all he could do was ask. There was no other resource. It was what it was. He had already gotten the word of the Lord that he was going to die, that he was so sick and that he was going to die. The only alternative that he had was God himself. Oftentimes, God will put us in positions where there is no other alternative than we have to believe God. We're in times like that now, I believe, in our life, and some of us, sometimes our resources, there's no alternative that, other than we just have to believe God, right? We just have to. We just have to trust God. We can't often change the minds of people, or we can't get a different result despite what we do. We just have to trust God, and that's the desire of God's heart today, is that you and I would be such a people of prayer and that we would hold on and believe on what we're asking when we pray, that it shall be done. And the Bible says that he will do it. I said there was a lot of prayer requests, and I wanted to save time throughout today that we make sure that we pray for every need that's come in and for every need that we have here and for people that are online. And I want us to make sure that we do that, that we can turn our face toward the wall like Hezekiah and then just believe God and watch for a totally different result, right? Whether it's people in the hospital, and like my uncle who's in the hospital, and we don't know what the outcome's going to be, and the family's worried and concerned and all of that, but yet God is able. The Bible says he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ever think or ask. And we've got to believe that God is able and that he will do it. We've got to believe that God is not just a healer, but that he's a financial miracle worker also. We've got to believe that he's a God that will bring salvation. We've got to believe that he's a God that people that we don't want to be lost and die and go to hell can and absolutely will be saved. And we've got to start being bold and being able to be bold enough to decree and declare their name before heaven and just believe that they will be saved and ask it, right? Ask it of God. Ask the things that are weighing on our heart today. People that are dealing with pain. We got a prayer request from Connie, and she's dealing with severe pain and not able to really move well. We've got to believe God that he's a healer that can heal that now, that can relieve pain now, not tomorrow, not next week. But look how quick God brought forth a divine intervention in the midst of Hezekiah's life. It was once he cried out, the word of the Lord went to Isaiah and said, go back and tell him he's going to live. Just because Hezekiah prayed, because he cried out to God. You and I have got to know that things in this life, things in this nation, things in our own church, things in our families and our homes can change and turn around. Just if God's saying, if you'll pray to me, if you'll cry out to me, that's what he said in 2 Chronicles. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek his face and turn from wicked ways, then he hears from heaven and will heal our land. In other words, whatever we're going to ask, he will do it. That's the words of Jesus. He's asking you and I to be a people that when we pray, that we will absolutely believe. And so we're going to pray over every need today that has come in, needs online and needs through email and needs through text. And I hope I don't miss anybody. I can see some of them that come through live stream. I just can't see all the streaming platforms at once. And so I'll see some of them for those of you that leave comments and all of those things. And we're going to pray over them and we're going to believe God. And I want to do that and pray over every need that's assembled here and every financial need. That's why I haven't stressed out about even the bus. It seemed like a great need whenever the mechanics say, hey, it's $5,000. And you're like, oh, Lord, you know. Because I know who God is. I was trusting in God, and I was reading and doing research, Harley, and I'm telling you, I was just like, God, you've got to show me another way. And none of the mechanics that have been looking at that bus gave me even an idea that this was possible. And then I was researching, and God showed up and showed off. I was reading down through a blog of some kind about this particular diesel engine, and they said, well, you can do a delete kit. I said, thank you, Jesus. I started researching the cost, and I said, Lord, I thank you that instead of us spending $5,000, that you just saved us $5,000. Because that's the God that we serve. Are you hearing me? That he's a God of witty inventions and new ideas, and he cares about what we care about. What I've learned about, how many have ever complained? I used to be a real bad complainer. Like, it didn't matter, you know. How nice it was outside, it was too hot, you know. And then when the temperature dropped, it was too cold. And we all, I think, have that ability to be a complainer in this life. And one day, the Lord rebuked me about my complaining. Because I realized what complaining often does, especially about things that we've previously asked God to intervene in. Think about it this way. Maybe we've complained about people. I've done that. Where I'm like, God, I just really don't understand why they act that way. Or God, I just really don't understand why they respond that way. And the Lord rebuked me one day, and he says that when I complain, it's as if it's a slap in the face to God. And I was curious about that, and I remember praying about it, and I realized through studying the Word of God that really even God talks about complaining up there with other abominations. It's serious. God doesn't like complaining. And so I was praying and asking God about complaining. I said, God, what is it about complaining? And it's really as if this is what God's issue with complaining is when you and I are complaining, it's us saying to God, Lord, if I was you, I would do it differently. In other words, God, I'm complaining about my spouse. And in other words, I don't like who they are. And if I was you, I'd have made them different. It's saying that we're second guessing who God is and the work that he put in. Think about that just for a moment. It's causing you and I to second guess the handiwork and creativity of Almighty God himself. And so, in other words, God's saying, instead of you and I complaining and questioning him, he's saying, come to me in prayer and then just allow me to change it. Oftentimes, we'll just spend more energy and more time complaining about something or people or circumstance. And yet God's willing, remember the words of Jesus, he said, you can ask anything of me and I will do it. And it, oftentimes though, we'll spend more time complaining about it, but we've not asked anything of God. We'll just tell God, I really don't like it. I've told God, Lord, I really don't like this person. And I've never really asked God to change him. I just told God I didn't like him. And I'll say things like, God, if you don't do something, like remove them from my life, I might have to take matters in my own hands, you know, out of frustration. Or I'll just say, God, they irritate me so bad I could scream, right? And yet I say that about Lois a lot in prayer. And yet instead of me saying, God, I really need you to change Lois, God, that you would make her a wife that David can stand, you know, that Lord, you allow David to be able to have all kinds of brand new love in his heart, that he doesn't pick on her like I do, you know. No, instead a lot of times we'll go to God and vent. And I've done that. I've been guilty of that. And I've even shared in teaching sometimes that what we call prayer is really us venting our frustration. And God wants to hear God wants to hear what's on our heart. But remember the word Jesus said, ask anything of me and I will do it. In other words, oftentimes we've got to go to God and say, Lord, I really don't like what's going on, but Lord, I'm going to believe and ask that, Lord, you're going to change this. That, Lord, you're going to change their anger, or that, God, you're going to change this job, or that, God, you're going to change me, whatever it is, and realize that I'm going to spend less time complaining about it, and instead I'm going to ask, and the Bible says, ask and you shall receive, right? That's the God that we serve. And so I'm sharing this with you today because I believe that we serve a God that is a God of results. I've seen it all too many times. And seen God do miraculous, crazy, almost unbelievable things. I've seen miracles that a lot of people don't believe unless they see with their own eyes. Right? Seen miracles like that. I've seen God grow things and grow arms and limbs and cancers fall off. Literal cancerous tumors on people's bodies fall off. And I've seen God bring people out of wheelchairs. And I've seen the blind begin to see. I've seen the deaf be able to hear. No joke. I was sharing with them a story when I was in Florida. And when I was in Florida that very weekend where I had a bloody nose, that very weekend, we had piles of wheelchairs and crutches and walkers and all of those things because of the miracles that God did in those months in the midst of thousands of people. You know, piles of them that people didn't need anymore and they left for junk, right? And it was evidence. It was a huge evidence on the left side of that arena of all that God had done and the miracles that had occurred. You and I've got to know that that's the God that we serve. And no matter how minute or how small our need may be compared to something like that, God cares. That's why he said in his word, cast your care on me because I care for you. In other words, whatever you care about, I care about. That's important from God. God says if it bothers you, it bothers him. There's people in my life that say they love me, but I know what bothers me doesn't always bother them. I get irritated about things that they don't get irritated about, right? That's what makes us different. But what God said in his word is when he said, cast your cares on me because I care for you. In other words, he says, if it bothers you, it bothers me. He said, I love you so much and so unconditionally. He says, that Lois, if it bothers you, it bothers me. In other words, if someone bothers you, God says, they bother me too. Isn't that cool? You know, that God loves you and I so much in that way that he says, just ask it and I'll do it. Just ask it and I will do it. It's extraordinary. And it's hard for you and I to wrap our head around that kind of love because so many times even our closest people in our life, the people that we love, that we're in relationship with, you know, not always the things that you're passionate about are they. That's what makes us different. David has passions and creativities that Lois can never imagine. And that's not another dig. It's just the truth. David can take, we've asked him to do wood or to put, when they busted out the big window in the bell tower, he figured it out. He's crafty, right? He can look at scraps of lumber and do something beautiful with it. Lois looks at it and sees firewood, right? That's what makes us different. But what's awesome about God is God says, because you care about, you know, crafty things, I care about crafty things. Because Lois cares about the finances and handling them with integrity in the church, God says, I care about that. Think about that. All the things that matter to you, God says it matters to him. Which is all the more reason he says, if you'll just ask these things of me, I'll do it. See, I believe that's one of the greatest reasons that God heard the prayer of Hezekiah. Remember, God had already decided he's going to die. He's going to die. And yet it was the prayer, and the Bible says he wept bitterly before God. God says, no, you tell him he's going to live. Because God saw the care that was in the heart of Hezekiah. God realized he still had work to be done. And the Bible says that God added 15 years to his life. Think about this. A man who was so sick and so sick in his body, he was bedridden. God says, no, you're going to live, and instead I'll add 15 years to your life. That's the God that we serve that we're talking about today. And all he desires is he said, just ask. Just ask it of me, and I will do it. That's the God that we get to serve and talk to. All prayer is talking to God. That's the God that you and I get to have our coffee and talk with in the morning and say, Lord, I'm believing this of you. I'm believing that this is what you're going to do. That's extraordinary, I think. And that he cares about the very things that you and I care about. That's awesome. And it makes me just appreciate who he is even more. It makes me want to ask even greater things of him. I'm telling you, it makes me want to ask him the extraordinary things, things that a lot of people would think is crazy, but it pushes me to want to ask him for more. And so we're going to go to the Lord in prayer and pray over these needs and any other needs that came in online. Ladies, those of you that are able to see if there are any others that came in, you can get those to me. I'd appreciate it. I do see some of them. We're going to pray and we're going to cover any needs in here that we have as well. And just believe God, because that's what he says. Ask anything of me, and I will do it. And that's how I want us to be able to close today, is you and I just praying and asking miracles of him and asking that he will intervene in situations and bring healing where there needs to be healing, and that he's going to protect people in our lives and families and people that have been exposed like that to this virus, that they're going to live and not die. Even the word says, you shall live and not die, declares the Lord. I've prayed that over many, many people who have been affected by this virus. And we've seen some that we've lost. We know some that we've lost. But yet, we need to declare and decree the word of the Lord because it's more powerful than anything else. And pray and believe God for these needs. And so, I want us to join together in prayer. And we're going to continue to pray over needs that are online and as they come in. And pray for any of you in this room today. But there are some of us that we just need breakthrough. that we just need a divine answer. I know there is someone else that messaged right before church and said, I need you to pray for a job. They're a frontline worker. And they've been working in a facility where over 24 people have died right here in town. And they're just gripped with fear. And I just replied back very quickly, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but I speak love, power, and sound mind. And I'm just believing that God's going to bless them with some other job because, you know, they shouldn't have to go to work in fear. Amen. And so I'm believing that it's not that they don't have a job. I'm just believing God's going to give them something better, you know. And that's what you and I need to do is pray for people like that because God cares about what we care about. And because if they care about it, God cares about it. And so we're going to believe God for those things. Amen. Will you pray with me? You can sit, you can stand, you can even come and kneel. I know whatever it is you need to do to be able to pray, but I just want us to be able to pray together today and believe God and trust Him for all of these needs today because He's able to do whatever it is that we ask of Him. And so will you join your heart together with me today and let's pray together. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You today. First, God, we begin by glorifying You and honoring You and praising You and lifting up Your name today, God, knowing that You're the source of all of our strength. God, You're the answer to every prayer that we have. God, You are everything that we have need of, God, today. And we look to You right now, God, as we prepare to call upon Your name. And God, we just thank You that, Lord, for the God that You are. We thank You that the same God that, Lord, that Hezekiah called out to is the same God that we're about to call out to. And so, Lord, we honor You and we bless You today, God. We just lift up Your great name and we love You and we appreciate You today. God, I'm thankful that we can ask anything of You and it will be done because that's what Your word says. And so, Father, we begin now today. Lord, we just pray right now, God, for Geneva. I thank You, God, that You're a God that will do supernatural things in her life and in her body. I thank You, Lord, every ailment, every pain that, Lord, she has experienced, Lord, would be a thing of the past. And that, God, that You would do something completely and absolutely supernatural in the name of Jesus. God, we just decree and declare, according to Your word, that, Lord, it is by Your stripes, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, that she is healed in Jesus' name. Let every complication, let every symptom that, God, we could imagine in our mind that it could be, let that dissipate now in the name of Jesus. And we believe, God, according to Your word, for total and absolute healing and restoration in the name of Jesus. God, there's others today that need healing, that need miracle. Lord, Connie needs a touch in her body to be free from pain. God, we're going to believe that, Lord, You're going to do that right now. I thank You that, God, that pain in her hip and her shoulder would cease. Let the very source of that pain, God, you see the source. God, my prayer is that, God, You wouldn't just remove the pain, but that, God, you would repair and restore the source of it. God, whether the source is something out of place or arthritis, God, or a nerve problem, I thank You right now that, God, you are the great physician. And, Father, I pray that now in this moment while we agree together in prayer that, God, that You would visit her home, that, Lord, You would visit her wherever she is in this moment, Lord, while she's listening to this, and that, God, that You would just begin to do supernatural things in her life and in her body right now. I pray in the name of Jesus. Father, do the extraordinary. Lord, it's just like the words that Jesus said, what is it that You want? And the blind man said, I want to see. God, I pray today that as You are calling from heaven, what is it that You want? Lord, we'll just tell You what we desire, what we want to see, and that You will do. We pray that You would do that, Lord, today for Connie in Jesus' name. We rebuke every sickness, every infirmity. We rebuke all pain in Jesus' name. I thank You, God, today that You'll be a healer for Lanny, Uncle Lanny, in the name of Jesus. The Lord, every complication, every problem, every symptom, every disease, in the name of Jesus, I pray that it shall be done right now. I thank You, O God. I praise You, O God, for all the things that You will accomplish in his life. I thank You that, Lord, let every doctor have wisdom. Let every doctor have divine wisdom from heaven. But, Father, I thank You that You are the God of the divine turnaround. I pray that You would bring every blood level, every sugar level. God, I pray that You would bring the swelling down in his body. I pray that every fluid that's being built up and being retained in his body would dissipate and just be removed from his body in the name of Jesus. Bring total and complete healing. God, let him be a miracle that walks out of that hospital in the name of Jesus. He wasn't able to walk, but Father, I pray that he will walk out of that hospital. Why? Because You said in Your word, ask, and I will do it. So now, Lord, we just challenge You in Your own word. do what you said you would do. We hold you accountable, O God, to your own word. Father, throughout this room this morning, around this room, around the families that are represented here and online today, God, there are heavy hearts and people that need prayer. Father, I pray that you would just hear the cries and the prayers of your people, and that, Lord, you will minister, and that, God, that you will move, and, Lord, you will do extraordinary things. I thank you that, Lord, people that need a job would receive one. God, I pray for divine connections for people that are in need of jobs and are in need of resources. God, let them meet somebody. Let it be a divine connection that only comes from heaven, where, Lord, you would bring someone into our life and in our path, that God would be a blessing to us, that, Lord, would bring about the provision that is needed. I thank you that, God, people will receive jobs that they're not even qualified for, because that's the God that you are. I pray that, Lord, that ending this year, that, Lord, people that are having financial hardship, God, would instead receive financial blessing. Lord, your word promises us that you are our provider. So, Father, would you be the provider for every person that stands in need of some financial miracle, Lord, that has a bill that's unpaid, that, God, has a circumstance that seems insurmountable. God, I lift up every financial need in the name of Jesus. Be their provider, I pray now, God, like never before. Father, I pray for our community, our church, our nation, God, as we are facing this virus, even our church, God, now being affected. I thank you that, Lord, we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over our lives, over our bodies right now. Father, I thank you that every person exposed, every person that has been tested, every person that's positive, every person on this prayer list that's in the hospital right now, God, every person at home that's battling this virus, God, we cover them and we plead the blood of Jesus over them. That, Lord, it is by your stripes they are healed. Father, I pray that they will live and not die, declares the Lord. Lord, we're just going to cut straight to the chase, that, Lord, they will live and not die. I thank you that, Lord, we're going to walk in faith and believe, God, in you above all else. God, we're going to trust in you, rely on you, lean on you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We're believing in you and your word that, Lord, it shall be so. We're believing that, Lord, whatever we ask, it shall be done according to your word. So, Father, keep our families safe. Keep our children safe. Keep our mothers and our grandmothers and those that are old, Lord, safe and protect them, I pray. God, I thank you and I praise you. We adore you for it. God, we glorify you for it. God, I'm thankful that, Lord, every situation with even our bus, God, you care about, Lord. And I thank you that, Lord, you're continuing to be a God of provision. That, Lord, you're working it out. That, Lord, you're going to send the right mechanic. Lord, you're going to send the right person to fix this and make it right. God, you're gonna do all the things that, Lord, are being asked of you right now here and online. God, I'm thankful that you're accomplishing. You're doing it, Lord, even now. People that are praying online today and believing you, oh God, I'm thankful that you're going to do it, that you're going to bring healing, hallelujah, that you're going to bring restoration in their lives and their bodies. God, there are people today that just said, I need peace. Father, I pray that right now, that, Lord, you would grant a peace that passes all understanding. Father, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of trial, that, God, they just have a heart filled with peace. That, Lord, we're going to trust you. That, Lord, there's not another direction we can go and not another resource that we can look to. And so, God, we're going to walk in peace. We're not going to worry. We're not going to live in fear. But, Lord, we're going to believe and trust in you right now, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, will you cover the people that are assembled online today worshiping? Will you touch right now? Holy Spirit, will you fill this place and fill their homes and their cars? God, wherever they are, Holy Spirit, would you begin to minister and move and touch, God, the lives of people that, Lord, we cannot touch. Go and minister. God, I pray that, Lord, you would just grant answers to questions that people are asking right now. I pray that, God, that you would visit and just bring a peace that passes all understanding in the lives of people who are anxious and feeling an urgency about them, I pray, in Jesus, your mighty name. Father, surround about the people of this house. That, Lord, we're going to be able to assemble ourselves together next week completely, totally, in total health, in total restoration. God, not facing sickness, not questioning sickness, not having to worry about results. But, Father, I thank you and I praise you that God will see you do extraordinary things in the lives of our congregation, in the lives of people. And that God will be able to assemble together next week, giving you praise and glory and lifting up your name and just exclaiming the awesome goodness of our God. So we look to you. God, I thank you in advance for extraordinary outcomes. We thank you in advance for miracles that will happen. We thank you in advance, God, for every person that's joined us in prayer online and in this room today. God, I pray that you will have heard the prayers and cries of your people and that we'll have testimonies of your goodness, testimonies of divine turnarounds, testimonies of healings and miracles. God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we look to you and we trust in you above all else. God, I pray that the week ahead for these people would be just covered. God, go before your people. God, start events in their life that are unstoppable. God, be a God of protection over them. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. God, let today and the days ahead be filled with lots of joy and laughter, God, like never before. We give you the thanks, we give you the praise, and we give you the glory. Now, Lord, as we leave this place and people click off, and Lord, as we give offerings and tithes, Lord, would you bless it? God, would you multiply it? I thank you that, Lord, we will. I just believe and I declare that we will as a ministry end the year in the positive. The Lord, there won't be a shortfall, there won't be debt of any kind, but the God that you would allow us to end this year better than how we started, and oh God, how we have. God, we are ending this year better than what we started, believe it or not. And God, I'm trusting you and believing that, Lord, every person that's connected to this ministry, that gives to this ministry, God, bless them 100-fold in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I pray. God, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. And we honor you today for all of these things. And we say thank you, oh God. Jesus, in your powerful and mighty name, we say today, amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Y'all have a great week. I pray we'll see everybody in person next Sunday. Hallelujah. Have a great week, everybody.